Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I had Fred Smoot on the podcast the other day, and I wanted you to hear his answers to what we were talking about earlier, and that is, you know, what are the issues defensively and what are the fixes? We started off with, what are the issues?
The issues to me, and here go another unsung hero, people don't, you know, Will Harris. Let me tell you what this guy brought to this team. He became the vocal Liza of the back end. He had the ability to play tight ends in a way that no other safety on his roster. I watched him in Zach Ertz battle all offseason.
He didn't play Tucker Kraft very well.
Listen to me. I'm never judging nobody by one guy. I know what this guy brought to this team. And now that he is missing in his defensive backfield, now that they continue to try to play out of man-to-man, if you can't play man-to-man, if you ain't got people changing it to boxes and triangles and doing checks when they motion and understanding how to get the most play out of the less, putting people in the less spots that's going to get them. Like, the one thing about it is, as much as people on Lattimore, sometimes it's what you call and how you execute it. Some of these things where he's running all the way across these formations, me and Sean Spring would have been checked there before that play even came. Like, so it's how do you talk and how do you weaponize communication and what are those communication checks? What can we check to? What are our options? So that's all I'm saying is, before people go and say what a person can and cannot do, you need to know what he got at his full repertoire and what's the communication. So if I can say anything that I'm seeing with my eye, it's the, they need to be on the same page, and they're not. It's almost like everybody, because we in man-to-man, everybody out there playing survival mode, and that ain't how I got to be played.
Okay, so you, I think, are implying an answer to my next question, which is, for people like me, I think it's really hard to figure out. You know, obviously, you don't want Bobby Wagner, you know, covering Bijan Robinson or Kyle Pitts. You know, him in coverage
You don't want Bobby Wagner from 10 years ago checking to Bijan Robinson.
Exactly. So there are certain things that are obvious. But when it comes to why people have gotten so wide open against the two opponents that are capable offensively, because the Giants and Raiders were not that capable offensively on the days we played them anyway. On the days we played them.
So you give them credit. So you discredit them when they don't stop offense, but when they do stop offense, it's because
I'm just
32 because it don't compare to the other one. Because guess what? Their Green Bay offense is one of the top offenses in football. Their Falcons offense got three layers of stars. If the quarterback continues to grow, they're going to have a star-studded cast. And now the defense struggled against two good offenses.
You are really in 2-2. You're in 2-2 mode right now. You're in 500 mode. You needed them to win yesterday. You needed them to be 3-1. So did I. I prefer that. No, what I was saying is that, you know, they played the Giants, who were a bit of a mess on opening day. No Andrew Thomas. That offensive line was a mess. They played the Raiders. Their best guard didn't play. You know, they were on a short week, Monday Night Football, West to East Coast, 1 o'clock start. And a lot of people got very excited about the defensive performances. And I think it's
–
and I think – okay, well, in my view, I think it was, you know, there was cautiousness in the approach to they're much better. Why? Because when they played a good offense, they got torched against Green Bay. And when they played a better than average offense yesterday, they got torched again. So I think it is still very much a wait and see here. But after yesterday, there are concerns. But back to what I was going to say about coverage, I think it's really hard for us that didn't play, didn't coach, to understand, is it more players and execution, or is it more scheme and play calling? And it sounded to me...
They both are always going to be married in a way that can't be separated. It's the play call, the players, the DNA of all of those things is only like, think about a coordinator. If you ain't got the players you need to call a certain style of defense, you're going to stay away from that defense no matter how much you love that defense because I don't have the soldiers for it. So they are so married to each other. Sometimes we'll never know unless we in that locker room truly which one is the weakness. Now, the only thing they can tell us sometimes is if it start to be patterns. Like if the certain person just continue to get beat and it becomes a pattern, then it's more of a dead person thing than it is a technique thing, what's going on with the play call.
All right, you know what? Enough about why. Let's. I'm going to be Tyrion Lannister right now. I'm going to be the hand, and we got to come up with solutions here. So what's this? What's the solution? Well, you're Tyrion Lannister, not me.
No. I'm more Littlefinger. I'm about chaos is a ladder to greatness. See, you gotta realize Littlefinger started the Game of Thrones. He started all the drama.
I know, but you can't trust Littlefinger, and I want to be able to trust you.
And guess what? In this world, you can't trust nobody. So understand that. I always understand that.
All right. What's the solution?
The fix is one. I think they need to simplify to play faster. Two, understand you don't have the depth you started the season off with. You're going to have to make sure that some guys are being rotated in, not because you want to, because they have to, because they could be your starter within a drop of a dime. Three, like I said, after simplifying, after making sure you maximizing some people, I want to see guys like Tyler Owens on the field. I want to see guys that we haven't been utilizing. I want to see these guys utilized. And on that defensive front, I know they've been rotating. I think you need to find which duos, which pairs, which guys work better together. Because I don't think this happened yet. I don't think they found, all right, these work better, these work better. Like, I don't think they found that quick shuffle over there. So I think simplify, put these guys in less high-risk situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be a compromise in there and making sure that everybody's on the same page so everybody can play fast, everybody can play physical. And people need to, when anything get bad, they need to understand truly, they just have to lean on their technique, man. Technique is everything.
You know, on the D-line thing that you just talked about, what do you think the best combo of players is? Are you talking about just the front four, their base four, like which four should be out there the most?
Well, first of all, I like anything with Kinlaw in it. Like, if people really want to appreciate some good trench warfare, go get your All-22 and watch old Kinlaw.
Yeah.
He throwing people out the club. And Payne is getting that edge back. And see, he's not getting double-teamed as much because Kinlaw is in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So any combination of them, and Doris Armstrong is the unappreciated man. This right in the danger field right there. He gets no respect. He just ended a streak of a sack per game starting back to last year.
Yeah.
So he has been getting after the pass rusher. So any mix of those three plus whoever else needs to be in that pass rushing core. Like they need to find the true mixture of what's needed.
All right. Well, you know, it changes, and there's still plenty of time. There are 13 games left in the season. They're going to play them anyway, even though some people expected more and are disappointed. I think considering your best player didn't play in two games, 2-2 is fine.
Thank you.
2-2 is fine. How do you see Sunday's matchup against the Chargers?
Well, like I told you, anytime we got a game that number five is dressed up, that Jedi, we always got a chance. Now, the one thing that I think we're going to see a little bit of a different Charger team, because Joe Ott, one of the best offensive linemen in football, you don't lose a player like that and get better, especially after them already losing Rashawn Slater. So it's going to be some trench warfare that's going to decide that game. The big uglies will decide this game right here. And it's going to be one of the things. They got Amari and Hampton. They got and Herbert is – I have never seen him look this good, but I'm not shocked, because that's what Harbaugh does. He's a quarterback whisperer. He understands this will be a challenge going to play them over there. But like I said, anytime we got number five, we got a chance.
I agree with that. A couple of quick league questions. How much trouble are the Ravens in?
You know what? If anybody can find their way out, it's that team, because they too damn talented. But also, look at their first four scheduled games. Like they've been had this number one, you know, this top schedule for so long, and we've been used to them skating through it, that sometimes you don't stop to see how hard this schedule is. This schedule will only get better. I mean, soft as it goes with two games against Cincinnati and Jake Brown. Hell, they might have Russell Wilson by that time. So the schedule will get – I think they will – put it like this. I'm never counting out any team with Lamar Jackson quarterback and Derrick Henry at the running back. I don't care how the defense look. Now, you want to talk about how a team feel about their defense. Would you want to go to sleep and wake up a Baltimore Ravens fan and talk about defense when it's been their identity for a billion years and all of a sudden now they can't stop a nosebleed? No, that's different.
Well, the expectations for great defense in Baltimore have been earned. That's for sure.
This team didn't earn it. They can't be living off Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
I'm saying the fan expectation. Yes. No, you're right. But I tend to agree with you. I think they'll figure it out. And they're in a division that's certainly still gettable. In the NFC right now, you know, again, it's only four games and the Packers look great. And then last night they gave up 40. But do you have a team in the NFC that you feel really good about, that this team is going to be there in late January with a chance?
And you're saying from the NFC, period?
NFC.
The Detroit Lions will be there.
That's mine. That's mine.
The playoffs.
Yeah.
They will be there. I would also say the LA Rams will be there, hovering. And I hate to say this, the Bleacher Creatures of Philadelphia will be there. That team right there, to me, is the most complete roster in football. When you go roster plus coaching and synergy, they win ugly, but they can win any way they want to. Saquon is off to a slow start. Nobody is saying nothing about it. A.J. Brown is off to a slow start. Everybody's talking about it. And they just continue to win. They just continue to win. But Washington, we'll have something to say about it, too.
Yeah, because I still believe that five, you could argue, is the best quarterback in the conference. And if you have the best quarterback in the conference, you get a shot. But that's interesting, because those are the three teams for me right now. Like, if you said of the final four, the four that participate in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs, the Rams, as long as Stafford's healthy, the Lions and the Eagles are the only three that I feel really good about. You know, Green Bay, I think I would have said them 2 weeks ago and it would have been too early. I think they're really good and they're really talented, but I like Jordan Love. I like him a lot, but there are still some things that occasionally he does that'll cost you. But I think
he has to prove. He has to prove it. Yeah. He hasn't proved it in the playoffs. See, here go the thing about it. Old ball coach told y'all, did agree, y'all can't be crowning him. Right? Y'all want to crown him. Y'all want to crown these guys after two games and make them the best team in the NFL, and they just went head-to-head with the Cowboys, who people said 2 weeks ago were the worst team in football.
Right. All right. You're the best. Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well. Everybody can watch Fred. He's a part of all the stuff on the Commanders, you know, website, YouTube channel, with Logan and with Santana and everybody else. Appreciate you doing this.
Anytime, Professor.
Fred Smoot, everybody. Brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're going to carry Dan Quinn's press conference at 12:30. Assuming some updates on some of the injured players. Those of you that have been on hold to talk defense with what your number one fix would be, we'll get to you next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the defense, just so you know, traditional numbers, 14th in the league run defense-wise, pressure rate third in the league, but coverage, pass defense 27th in passing yards allowed. That is way down from a year ago, but of course a year ago they were getting run on, which leads to that. You know, per DVOA, Washington regressed last week back to the middle of the pack defensively. But they continue to be a strong run defense. Run defensive team ranked 7th in the league per DVOA. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to carry Dan Quinn's press conference live. You're also in a few minutes going to hear what new president of baseball ops, Paul Tabini, said in his introductory press conference this morning at Nats Park. But you got one fix to the defense. My man G from the shop's been holding for a while, and he's not happy with me, so I'm going to start with him. Go ahead.
Nah, it ain't. I ain't unhappy with you, Sin. If I was unhappy, I'd have been hung up. I really enjoy your show, so that's why I stayed on hold for this topic, man. Right. And first and foremost, man, first and foremost, rest in peace to one of my first basketball hero is Lawrence Mosley.
Yeah,
man.
Lawrence Mosley. I meant to mention that. I've got that on my notes today for the show. Yeah. Did you know, by the way, I didn't know this. Did you know he's the all-time leading scorer in Syracuse basketball history?
Oh, I remember when he took the Big East scoring record. He just was passed. He held the scoring record in the Big East. Just was broke a couple years ago by Marcus Howard at Marquette. That it shows how long he had it, too. He held that record for a long time. When you can get a bucket, you're going to get a bucket. And that's what Lawrence Moten was, a bucket getter, man. And he was one of my first heroes, man. Him, Walt Williams, Victor Page is who I wanted to be like growing up playing basketball. So condolences to the family and the whole basketball community, man.
I know, for sure. Archbishop Carroll in the house.
Yeah,
Lawrence Moten, sorry to his family, sympathies. Just 53 years old.
Yeah, man. God bless. On the topic, man, I'm being sarcastic when I say this. You know, I think the whole defense needs a soft benching, Kevin. A soft benching.
Yeah, right. But, well, you can't put the whole defense on soft benching, but yes.
If you ask about, yes, you can. But soft benching, man, I feel like I get dumber every time I hear that phrase. I was just making a joke. But my real thing is film room needs to be pertinent. Everybody that's getting cooked needs to be early, sit in front of the class. They need to stay late. You know what I'm saying? Because against the Packers in Atlanta, our defense look unprepared, unsure, and indecisive. You know, we look timid. Y'all stole that word from me before I could even get to. So that needs to be corrected in the film room. I think it will get better, Shin. The more film we get on, because teams change from year to year. A lot stays the same, but some things change. So the more film we got, I think it will get better, especially being able to watch the Giants, a division foe, lead the whole game against the 3-0 Chargers and figure out how to beat them. So it'll show a lot. We got a good film on the Chargers on how to exploit them, and let's do that. You know, I think we will be more prepared the longer the season goes on, but if we're looking like this after week 8, man, we've got real problems, you know?
So basically, you wouldn't do anything drastic right now.
I'm not calling for anybody's benching. I'm not calling for anybody to be cut. I'm not putting right. the blame on one single person. I'm just putting it on. I'm looking at it in a coaching mindset. I'm watching the game. I'm watching our defense against Green Bay and Atlanta look scared and indecisive against their playmakers. They sitting down and making catches unabated. So yeah. To me, it looks like we're confused and we have no game plan, and I think the game plan needs to be better. Like Paulie said, the dudes that's on the field, see how they're successful and use them to be successful. Don't just
I think Paulie's had, I mean, he doesn't always have great points. Actually, he does. I actually really appreciate the way he thinks about sports. But I think he probably had the best overall summary, which is if it's true that it's, you know, not just one player, but it's several players and it's execution and it's miscommunication, that really does then fall back on coaching. And when it's one player, it's one thing. When it's multiple players, it tends to be more, you know, scheme related. I do agree with that.
All right, man. No, and that's all it comes down to. That's my solution.
All right.
Have much more pride in the film room, and let's figure out a good way to exploit this next team in the Chargers, who a division foe that was 0-3, looking terrible, figured out how to lead the whole game and pull out the dub.
I'm going to tell you about that game because I've now watched the condensed version of that game. Number one, we don't have anywhere near what the Giants have from a defensive personnel standpoint. They have A players on their defense. Four of them right now. In Lawrence, in Burns, in Carter, and in Thibodeau as a pass rusher. All right. They got a real defensive, you know, personnel up group. Offensively, the Chargers killed themselves with penalties, man. They had 14 penalties. They had two picks.
Well, look,
some of that was defensive oriented.
But they
moved the football at times. The Giants just made big plays, and they hurt themselves. I think we're going to win Sunday, but it ain't going to be defensive-led. It'll be offensive-led.
Hey, Sean, you named four players from the Giants who do have – some stalwarts on defense, but we got the same amount that you just named in Kinlaw, Payne. I haven't lost confidence in Lattimore and Luvu. That's the same amount of people that you just named for the Giants, and
they're not as good as what the Giants have. The Giants stars are better than our stars.
Coming off of L for them.
Yeah.
Their whole.
I agree. I got to roll. Thank you for holding. Real quickly, because Jay, you've been on hold for a while. Finish it up for us. I can't get to everybody. We got to get to Quinn. Go ahead, Jay.
What's up, Kevin? So,
hey, Jay. What's up?
First thing, and I know you got to go. I would not take the play calling duties from Whit, but I want him on the field. I want the defense to feel his pulse. Okay. I want him to
rather
the
than in the booth.
The defense, rather than in the booth. That's the biggest thing. Second thing is, I agree with Smoot. Simplify and correct the communication. That happens when you come down out of that booth.
Yeah.
Third thing, just sprinkle in the young linebackers, Cahill, Kane, because Wagner does diagnose plays at a Hall of Fame level. I agree with Whit there. But coaching has, like, we got to keep them accountable. You got to get these young guys ready. And I would not move Lattimore. Don't move him just yet because the best is yet to come. But the coaching and the scheme has to be a little bit different. We have to get him on stationary receivers. And I agree with Smoot. Like, we have to get players back in what they do best so they're in better position. That comes with coaching. Not just technique, you have to coach that into players, okay? And just come out of the booth because the next thing is Dan Quinn got this job because he could call plays. We're going to take them calling plays duties from you because that's next.
Thanks, Jay. I got to run. I'm up against a really hard break. We want to get to Quinn. We'll carry his press conference next.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
21-day window. He got injured in January, and he has worked his ass off to get back on the field with his teammates, so it'll be great to have him back at practice. Also said I'd give you an update on Jaden. He has been medically cleared by the doctors. He'll practice full today. And as far as other injuries and practice updates, we'll put out the injury report later today. And also wanted to give a big shout-out and a welcome to Paul Toboni and the Nationals, and definitely pulling for those guys, I believe, as he's got started today. So glad to open up to you guys and get rolling.
What have you seen with Jaden over the last week or so, really, as he's dealt with this?
Just a steadfast approach to it, Nikki, first off, to put the work in to say, okay, I got to do all the things to do to get better. And then once you kind of get over the top of that, then the throw in the movements to go. So that's what we saw in terms of the work to get better.
And as far as the other guys, Terry, especially Noah, John Bates, where are they?
Yeah, all are trending up, and that's what I was referring to. I'll give you some updates on those tonight, but we're making good progress with those guys.
Dan, what will the next 48 hours be like in terms of what you're looking for from Jaden before you make a decision?
Just real back into the fold of it, David. He'll get all the reps at the practice, so we'll be back at a full speed, the execution, the timing, all of that. That's really what I'm looking for, but he's definitely chomping at the bit to get going. So, or just running the offense, being back to himself. That was our discussion today to make sure, man, like all the looks, all the calls, and the speed of the practice.
I know you understand his competitive nature, and I'm sure he understands your authority, but I wonder what those conversations are like when he's telling you I can go, and you're telling him, I hear you, but not yet.
Yeah. It's good that I've known him for a year and a half now. I think when you're first getting to know somebody, you're feeling that out, but knowing what his best looks like, and also having trust in one another to do that. And so I think that's a big piece of it.
Hi, Coach. You guys are heading into Los Angeles early. What is the benefit for your team to have that extra day of practice at the Coliseum already in Southern California?
Yeah, we decided that in the spring that we oftentimes like to take an extended trip when we can. We had done it for a trip last year. We know obviously we're going to Madrid. We'll do that one as an extended time. I think it's some good spaces for the team to get together. It's also to get acclimated, to get ready. There's a big time change with that, and so we thought we would make that decision to go out early, get ourselves fully ready to go play at our best.
With working Cosmi back into the lineup, you guys have had a lot of change on the offensive line. How difficult is that for maybe your signal callers to adapt to all those changes up front?
Yeah, it is part of it, and it's not what you want. Like we're you'd love for all the guys to play in their spots, but that's just not how it is. I think when we look around the NFL right now, there's a lot of moving parts, on all the teams, ours included. And Sam getting back into it is a step in that direction. But he also has to get back into rhythm and, the combinations and all the communication. So we're just pumped that he's put this kind of work in to allow him to, be ready to get back into with the group this quickly.
Over here.
Got it.
Last year, you guys were seventh, I believe, in the league in time of possession. That's not the case this year so far. With the return of presumably number five, is that really what you want out of your squad, is to be able to keep that opposing defense off the field and do what you guys can do offensively?
Yeah, we like that, and we feel like offensively we're definitely making strides on our run game, on our run actions, the play actions that go with that. A good piece of that is also third down. That's one of the areas we really need to dig into, because now your drives are continuing. So those are a big piece of that. So, it's part of the formula for sure, Chick. I still feel like it's early days as we're going, and we've got plenty of work, that we need to put in, but that is certainly the goal for us, yes.
With going out to LA early, does that change the timeline for you in terms of evaluating these injured guys who you don't know if they're going to go?
No, because we'll go through practice, you know, as we get into tomorrow. But no, it doesn't change that time frame on that.
And then I wanted to ask you about Robbie Chosen and kind of more broadly that outside receiver spot. What do you envision for him? And then also, what's your level of comfort with guys like Luke and Jalen and even Debo playing in those outside receiver spots?
Yeah. The silver lining, that's maybe not the right word. Maybe we can think of another name for an added benefit, was with Noah and Terry missing some significant time early, I think it ramped up Jalen's space where he was able to even play outside some in the preseason. We did that with Debo, and Luke had already done some of that. So where at once we weren't as interchangeable, and now that we are, I think that's a good step, you know, forward. Robbie's, you know, some of the guys had experience with him, coaching with him before. Cliff has, Wes has. So we had some background with him. Came in, had an excellent workout. And so one of the things I appreciate from Adam, just always digging and competing to see, you know, is there a spot to go? And sometimes it works out great. Other times we just keep competing and digging, but we're pumped Robbie's here. And he's working hard already to, you know, learn it and grow. But, and there is some familiarity for him too.
Yeah, I know it's been a bumpy start for the season for the defense overall, but what gives you confidence that the unit will be able to turn it around moving forward for the rest of the year?
A lot of confidence. I thought, you know, there's a lot of progress that I thought, you know, with the exception of the second half on third down, that's a big piece of how you want to play. And I thought, you know, in two games, the energy intensity has been what I'd hoped it would be in pass rush, and two others, not so much. And so that gives me a good sense of what I know it can look like. Had we not seen that, I might feel differently. So I've got plenty of confidence in how we want to play and what it will look like. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Dan, in terms of the secondary and you know, those back end guys, how do you improve communication? Like, how, as a defensive minded coach and your staff, how can you help improve communication with the secondary guys?
Well, I think first it starts in meeting rooms to make sure when you make a call, like you're just echoing it. It's the collaboration, you know, that you're working on together. You take that into the, you know, the walkthrough portions and then onto the field. So you just emphasize it in every way. It's not going back to walk, crawl, run, but it's just the emphasis of it over and over. Say it again. If you don't hear it, repeat it back. Communication is also sent and acknowledged. So if I give you a call, you're giving me a signal back. Some's verbal, some's nonverbal. So like most things, you get what you emphasize, and we're certainly going to dig in hard on that.
Curious about the balance and kind of the mindset of applying pressure in terms of when to throw a blitz, when to go more blitz heavy, when to rush four. Take me through that balance of, like, over the course of a game or even a game plan. Like, how does that plan kind of get constructed?
Well, some of it's based on the opponent, some on, you know, your matchups and where you want to go. If you can rush with four and affect the QB, obviously that gives you some advantages in some ways because you have another defender, you know, that you can use into coverage. Road, home, you know, are they going with six man or seven man to protect, or, you know, six, you know, or five? So all of that factors in. You want to have some balance, like most things, like an offense that has either all run or all pass. You want the balance to work on both. And I think the same thing on a good defense, that you want to have the ability to show a blitz, come out of it, show like you're in coverage, bring the blitz, and be able to get in and out of check. So those are all things that make up a good defense, and you need a balance of both.
You're listening to Dan Quinn. He led with Jaden Daniels, has been medically cleared, and he will practice today full go.
Balance between having the emphasis on this week as well as the patience on the long run.
Yeah, it's a great topic. One for you know, all teams that you're going, you're starting to get your identity set. You really want to dig in on what that looks like. At the top for us, our central theme of the program is it's competition. And that's not just against the opponent. That's with ourselves, see how good we can get together as a team. I loved in the game against the Raiders, the complimentary football, you know, this a return to a score, to working together. So the competitive nature of us doing it together, I think that allows you to not look too far down the road, see how good you can get. You work your skills, and we just try not to look down the road. It's about improvement and getting better, and when you can stay in that pocket, You don't have to look too far down the line. There's plenty to work on, you know, right in front of you for the matchup, for the game. And so that's how we choose to dig in.
Dan, looking at Frankie Louvu, first couple weeks seemed to have more pass rushes than the last couple weeks. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Okay,
just looking at the numbers, maybe. Okay. But I'm curious, like, has there been not a de-emphasis, but maybe more of an emphasis on him dropping into coverage? Or would you like to see him rush a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it all depends on how to go to win. Like, obviously, I want him going forward as often as we can. But sometimes the game dictates that, too, when he's rushing, when he's blitzing, you know, how we're using him in those spaces. So, yeah, we always want to put him in positions to make plays. So wherever that looks like, you know, that's where we're at. But I don't think of him any more or less. I thought, honestly, last week he played really good and solid and square in the run game. But maybe there might not have been as many pass opportunities for him in that space.
With Marshawn, do you feel teams are going after him? And I guess that would be part one. And then two, how do you feel he has been performing?
Yeah, so part one, when you play middle field coverage, like both corners, you know, get targeted to where you go. Sometimes it's their matchup, sometimes it's ours. I don't feel that's been the case. And then the second part, can you repeat?
How would you assess that?
So I'd say there's, when you play corner and you play offensive tackle, like there's a lot of plays that go good that go unnoticed, and there's one that goes up top and it's like there's one or there's a sack, and like that's part of, you know, living life, you know, outside. And what I do know about him, like, this is one competitive guy, and like he's always down for the challenge and for the fight. And so I'm looking forward to working with him again this week and as we get rocking again.
Hey, Coach, so you've mentioned, you know, September football, so now it's October. So what does October football, what's been the message around what you want to see this month?
Yeah, I think the execution, honestly, Candy, that's the big thing. I want to make sure the energy home, road, in terms of, you know, how we want to play. And somebody brought up starting fast to me. Starting fast doesn't mean a touchdown on the first drive or a three and out. It's a speed, an intensity, an urgency to go. So I don't want to, like, confuse what that would look like. But I do want to see the execution really, you know, start to dig in. We've had four games together. Roles have now begun to emerge. And so, like, it's a good month to go really dig in to go get better. And now that some of those roles have emerged, that's a big deal for it. Some guys have had to step in, and I've liked what I've seen in some of those instances, Candy, to see guys step up when the injuries take place, knowing that that's a part of it, and the opportunity came early for some of the players, and so it's nice to see them deliver and show and express themselves. Hey, man, I can help. I can do these things, and so I think that's been a big piece of it.
Hey, Coach, sticking with the injury situation, it's been challenging in this early part of the year. With some of those guys that have stepped in, do you have to tweak any of those things a little bit because of the injuries? You suffered another one last week with Jean Baptiste, and who will be filling in for him?
Yes, you do want to, you know, not one size fits all, Donna, into that. So when, you know, somebody's featured in a different role or a different spot, it's not just, you know, add water and the same result will take place. So you may have to do things a little bit differently. I think we maybe spoke about that a little bit with Austin and what that would look like, and then with Will. So with Javonte, in his case, we signed Preston a few weeks back. And so as he's progressing, those would be some snaps that would go his way.
Dan, when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels coming off an injury, obviously he wants to play out of the pocket. Obviously you want to use as many of his abilities as you can. Is there a way to balance that with protecting him and keeping him healthy, or is that something you can't be concerned about?
Yeah, I think you can. Not necessarily the calling of the game, but maybe I had said it a few weeks ago, the only thing worse than missing games is, you know, not taking the lessons from there. And as a scramble goes, when do I get down? When do I get out of bounds? And so like Jaden's still growing too, you know, like we feel like he's been playing for a while. And so as he's into his second year, like there's still things that he's growing on too. And that's kind of the fun and exciting part, that like he hasn't anywhere near the top of what he's going to be. And so that lights me up. But those are some things, you know, where do you grow? When do you take your shot? When do you not? And so, those are the lessons you want somebody to learn at quarterback or at any spot, and I certainly fully expect him to do that. That's the type of competitor he is. All right, thanks, everybody.
Dan Quinn telling you right from the jump, Jaden Daniels has been medically cleared. He will practice full today. This is the first practice day in preparation for the Chargers on Sunday at 4:25. As it relates to the other three players, Terry, John Bates, Noah Brown, trending up, good progress. You'll see their status on the injury report later on today. And I guess we will be following that. But I would certainly guess, unless there is a setback, you know, medically, Jaden Daniels practicing full today is a real sign he is going to be the starting quarterback Sunday against the Chargers, and we can start hopefully the process of a rest of the season, fingers crossed, you know, another 13 games with, you know, an offense led by their best player. And Marcus Mariota did a phenomenal job in relief against the Raiders and the Falcons. But if they're going to be what we thought they could be, or some of us thought they could be before the season started, they need number five at the helm. There's no doubt about that. There were a couple of other things. I did not realize they were heading to LA early. Talked about their opportunity to do that, you know, with Madrid as well, but it was not as much the focus on getting to, you know, a Western time zone early to prepare to acclimate. He did mention those things, but to spend more time together away from home. And he said they did that last year. Yeah, remember the game they did that last year was the Arizona game last year. Also, by the way, a week four game. They went west in week four last year. This is week five, obviously, but it was close enough. It was September 29th, the game was last year. And they destroyed the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Chargers are a better opponent, that's for sure. But remember the rushing output, the game in general, that was coming off also a Monday night win over the Cincinnati Bengals, sort of the big, you know, coming out party for Jaden Daniels. But God, they went nuts in that game at Arizona, and was really one of those games where your short week going west, Josh Harris committed to spending the extra money, something that Snyder certainly wasn't doing as an owner. There was a lot of praise for ownership in doing it that way. And Brian Robinson Jr. had a 100-yard-plus day. Jeremy McNichols went nuts. Jaden had another ridiculous completion percentage game. He was 26 of 30 in that game, and they rolled 42-14. This week could be different because the opponent's different for sure, but they're heading out that out there early. And he also was asked sort of where he is confidence-wise with the defense at this point. Do we have that soundbite? Okay, play that.
Yeah, I know it's been a bumpy start for the season for the defense overall, but what gives you confidence that the unit will be able to turn it around moving forward for the rest of the year?
A lot of confidence. I thought, you know, there's a lot of progress that I thought, you know, with the exception of the second half on third down, that's a big piece of how you want to play. And I thought, you know, in two games, the energy intensity has been what I'd hoped it would be in pass rush, and two others, not so much. And so that gives me a good sense of what I know it can look like. Had we not seen that, I might feel differently. So I've got plenty of confidence in how we want to play and what it will look like. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, look, he's got to publicly be confident, and I'm not saying that he's stretching the truth, but the answer can't be inside that building because they had a great pass rush against two woeful offensive lines the day they played them. I mean, the Giants didn't have their best offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas. The Raiders were a bad offensive line going into the game and didn't have their top guard playing in the game. He was active, but he didn't play in the game. You know, you got to, I would think, you know, certainly you can be misled by those results. And I think the truth was, you know, sort of played out that way in the game against Atlanta on Sunday, where they didn't have much pass rush. Now, the Chargers are really banged up along the offensive line. They lost arguably one of the best tackles in the game in Slater before the season started. They lost Joe Alt on Sunday after about 10 snaps against the Giants. So they have a bit of a makeshift offensive line they'll be going with Sunday. That could be an opportunity for the defense to have another good outing, stopping the run and getting after Justin Herbert. The Giants really took advantage of that. Herbert was the most pressured quarterback in the league on Sunday. He's actually been the most pressured quarterback over the last two games in the league against the Giants and the Broncos. But the Giants and the Broncos are better defensive teams, talent-wise, than Washington is. They won that Denver game. They won that Denver game with some incredible Justin Herbert magic at the end of the game, down 7, driving for a game-tying touchdown on an incredible throw to Keenan Allen for a touchdown, and then getting the ball back and getting into field goal range for the game winner. The Giant game, it was very self-destructive. The Giants really dominated the line of scrimmage, and they got after Herbert because of that banged-up offensive line, for sure. But the Chargers had 14 penalties in the game. They had 2 turnovers. You know, they struggled at a lot of things that were more some of the demise was their own doing. Now, some of those penalties were caused by the Giants and the turnovers as well. But, yeah, there was an opportunity. As poor as they were in the game, there was still an opportunity for them to win that game, in part because Jackson Dart was playing his first game, you know, and he was not great in this game. Took a bunch of sacks, didn't see it, was good as a rusher, actually came out of the game briefly, and Russell Wilson went in for a couple of plays. But Sunday, man, is a fascinating matchup. I just thought that answer was interesting, where he focused on two pretty, you know, incapable opponents along the offensive line. We might get a third Sunday. I think that's the reason the line is short. I think that there is a real possibility that Washington defensively ends up having a much better game than it had Sunday because of the issues the Chargers O-line has. But of course, the big reason is that Jaden Daniels is coming back. Oh, Sam Cosmi, 21-day window, ACL injury in that Detroit game. It would be nice to get him back fully healthy as well. I think it's going to be important that they get, you know, at least Terry back or Noah Brown back. Get, you know, one or two of the three back for Sunday. I think that would be big. All right, we're done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell's next.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.